Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to something that everybody hates. It's a teaser for something you actually have to pay for. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, I know of something that people hate more than that, and it is international break.
That is true. That is true. And we feel the same way. Every international break is a little depressing, but the second one is really the worst. I mean, the November one, it's like, okay, fine. Like, there's been a lot of Premier League. It's getting colder outside. Maybe it's like your one last chance to get out and do something. But these first two are brutal. I mean, the first one is the worst, obviously, but the second one's not far behind.
It's the last meetup for the always cheating dogging club that I'm starting with all my UK leaf peeping friends out there. So doggers unite. Let's get together during this break.
So, Brandon, we wanted to do a little intro. I don't want to say teaser exactly, but we recorded a podcast that we were really happy with this week. It's a Patreon exclusive podcast with Peter Blake, who many of you probably know already. He writes he has a blog called Mathematically Safe, mathematicallysafe.wordpress.com. He's also on Twitter, and he's at mathsafe_FPL. But just one of the foremost,
he's a data analyst. Yeah. And yeah, he's kind of made his reputation in the FPL community having a very cold, composed read on stats all around the Premier League.
Exactly. Very, very data forward, but not in a way that's pedantic or unreadable. And like many people, I actually reached out to him last year just to say how much I liked his blog, just like randomly, not with any like ulterior motive. And although little did I know that we'd be invited on the podcast like a year later. But I just think he writes very readably about stats. And we thought he'd be a good person to have on for a Patreon podcast because he is pretty good at articulating what to actually look for and what to look for and what to avoid when it comes to stats and how they can be used, to be a better fantasy Premier League player.
Sure. The log line that you use, Josh, is everything you wanted to know about FPL stats, but were afraid to ask.
Exactly. So we're going to do, we're actually going to post a little 5-minute teaser here. The conversation was, we told him it was going to be 30 minutes. It ended up being well over an hour. I think it's about an hour and 10 minutes total, but we're going to tack on a little 5-minute teaser here where he talks about Raheem Sterling. I just thought it was an interesting moment. It gives you an idea of what the conversation was all about. So if you like it and you want to learn more, or listen to more, then you can visit our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/alwayscheating. If you become a Patreon supporter, and there's multiple levels there. And so if you get the lowest level, you get to join the Supporters League, and the winner of the Supporters League gets to appear on the pod. If you join just one tier up, you actually get to join the Knockout League, the Survivor League, which starts in game week 8. And so invites are out for that right now. So if you join any time in the next 2 weeks, then I'll send you an invite for that, and you can join our Survivor Knockout Pool.
Let me put it this way, and for our listeners out there that really detest marketing, we're not putting out this 5-minute teaser with our episode with Peter Blake as to entice you to give us money. It's more so, Josh and I didn't have time to record an initial international break episode. We're going to do a full episode next week leading into the next game week, but this is just a way for us to not only, you know, hopefully get you involved on the Patreon page, but share a little bit of this content just so you have a little taste while there's nothing else to do while England is playing this World Cup qualifiers over the next week.
And I hope you guys bought that complete lie from Brandon right there. So we're going to get to that clip in just a second. But Brandon, before we go, I don't even know how to like talk on this shortened podcast.
It's like we're not even here on this episode. we're two invisible podcasters talking. So yeah, we'll make it brief here. But we want to do a quick rundown of our game week 7.
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you lead it off? Because Brandon, you had your first real solid game week, and it shouldn't go unremarked upon.
Yeah, thank you, Joshua. I'm going to try not to, there is a no humble brag rule on Always Cheating, so I'll just lead with it. 87 points, a game week rank of 27,853. I have been gasping for a game week like this since the season started. I think all the listeners know I've been struggling a bit. So what does the 87 points get me? Well, I started the week ranked 1.87 million, and I jumped more than 1.2 million places. I now have an overall rank of 596K. So it was just huge. It was really massive, and it was on the back of my defense, I think. Goals from Ben Davis, and Nacho Monreal scores his first goal in, 13 years? I think since he was a small boy, it was the first goal he scored.
Yeah. Huge week for defenders.
Yeah, and KDB, who I've not really found a way to get him out of my midfield, he turned out to be a big differential for me this week, so I couldn't be happier there. Yeah. Of course, we all got the captaincy wrong. Both of us put the armband on Big Rom, and I had Kane up front with 13. That's probably the only one real sticking point for me.
Yeah, you still got a goal. I've 6 points doubled. That's you'll have worse. I mean, we already had a 0 point captaincy from him this year, so
I mean, so even though
12's not so bad.
Speaking of his goal, I had a lot of great moments over the weekend, but the best was probably in the midst of your one-year-old birthday party. We're surrounded by children and parents. You brush by me, and you just lean in and whisper in my ear, "Lukaku scored." And we just sort of do a silent fist bump. It was those little moments.
I had gone to the bathroom, and when one is in the bathroom, one is allowed to do anything, basically, up to and including checking their fantasy scores. So I got the full update, and I knew you'd be excited, thus so I had to share the word.
All right, did you do, Josh?
I ended up on 67 points, so not nearly as good as you, but still quite solid. I'm actually I cracked the top 60K, so I'm at 57,000 in the world right now. So
that's a great ranking, man.
Yeah, very happy with that for the first 7 weeks, and hope to, keep moving forward. I have some tricky – so, for me, it was all about the defense, too. I had Davies, Ward, Kolasinac, and Jones. And, Ward is someone that I actually if we had done – well, maybe we can talk about it next week's podcast. But it's an example of everyone sort of being on the me bandwagon, even though Ward, to me, was – when I wildcarded, I brought him in last week, and he just seemed like he was clearly the better option. He's just a little more attacking. He's actually tall enough that he's on some set pieces, too. And, so I think that's a goal. And so he has a goal and an assist, and I think he's on 5 bonus points now through 7 weeks. So
we're all familiar with the year that Punk broke. And I think game week 7, 2017-18, will go down in history as the year that Steven Ward broke. So yeah, the year that
four at the back really broke out in FPL in a big way. I mean, everyone is on the four at the back now. And just, yeah, I have a couple tricky decisions to come right now. I have to kind of figure out what to do with Alvaro Morata. And I've decided, I actually don't have Kane. And so I just have to decide whether I'm just going to bite the bullet and burn four, bring in Kane. I've already missed a couple price rises.
I know, it's like every minute kind of counts in that situation where Morata is tanking and Kane is skyrocketing.
If Morata is set to go down in price, which I'm sure he will in the next day or two, then I'm just going to have to, I mean, I have to make my transfer and just live with it. I could do Jesus, which would be the easiest way to go, and I wouldn't have to burn four. But you know, he's playing two major international qualifiers away, you know, during the national break. So I mean, it's entirely possible he could come in off the bench that first game week. And I know I'm so cautious about people getting benched.
Well, that could make Peter Blake's little mention about Raheem Sterling a little more interesting if you've got Sterling just hanging out on the continent, where you have Jesus flying all the way to South America for his international fixtures. It wouldn't be impossible for Pep to consider playing Sterling in that sort of false nine spot.
No, it's very true. Brandon, before we go into the clip that we're about to share, once again, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. And there are actually three different pledge levels. The first pledge level, you get access to all of the exclusive podcasts and the Supporters League. At the $3 level, you get the Supporters League and the Knockout League, which once again starts next game week. And at the $5 level, we send you pins and a small personalized note, often on one of our own work stationery. So if you want Midtown Manhattan nonprofit work stationery,
show
then
your
you've
friends
come to the right place. Yep. So you can go there, and at any pledge level, you get to listen to all the podcasts. So, but you know, it's also no problem if you want to just take the week off and listen to us next week.
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for suffering through our little marketing pitch here. We're gonna be back next week previewing game week 8 in a major way. We'll have obviously a lot more information coming out of the international fixtures. Hopefully Harry Kane doesn't fall down, go boom, and have a boo-boo. That would be no good. But I think we just want to, again, thank Peter Blake for coming on our Patreon episode. And if you're so lucky, check it out.
That's right. And once again, if you're not following Peter Blake on Twitter, I highly recommend you do so. He's mathsafe_FPL. And we'll see you guys next week.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
I wanted to get to a few FPL-centric questions here, and I thought maybe I'm actually going to go off the board here. There's a question that I don't have it here, but I think it leads into this pretty well, which is that, so you actually played your wild card going into game week 6, and I'm just curious, you know, how does someone who really does try to, you know, take a stats-based approach, you know, play a wild card? I mean, did you kind of strip your team down? I mean, obviously you can't totally do that because there's value from players changing prices and things like that. But, you know, how do you think about value? And like, for example, you brought in Raheem Sterling, which was not a move I think most managers would have made. And I can't remember if you talked about this in your blog or not, but I'd like to know what your logic was there.
Well, specifically with Sterling, it was the idea that the actions he was taking on the pitch, he was getting into really good positions, and yeah, he was putting the ball in the back of the net, but he was, you know, he was touching the ball enough in the final third. He was receiving passes and he was taking shots. So actually, in terms of points expected per minute on the pitch, he ranked really highly in the stats I put together. And the counter argument seemed to be from the reason why nobody was considering him, because he was only 7.8 at the time, or 7.9, and it's just really cheap for a player who's in the front three of Man City, who was scoring an absolute boatload of goals, and he was, you know, creating chances for himself as well. The argument seemed to be though that there was the Pep rotation; everyone was terrified of it, and I thought. And I had Gabriel Jesus in my original draft of it because it just seemed like a logical thing to do. But I thought about, you know, if he's rotating everybody, if you want a Man City asset, you've got to be prepared for them to be rested at some point. And it's going to happen. And it will happen again. That's fine. And he started on the bench for a couple of games. I think it was only one game. He hadn't played in any way. But I thought, he's 7.8 million. And Jesus is 10.5. Sterling's going to get, he's getting goals, and he's going to get one more point for them than Jesus would. And he's performing well enough He's coming on, he's making a difference. You know, he's rescuing games for them. And he seems to be, you know, he wasn't really putting a foot wrong. So I thought, okay, he will get dropped at some point because he's going to be rested. But that's true of Aguero. That's true of Gabriel Jesus. And it'll be, you know, true of any one of the other forwards as well. And I just, once you sort of put all that together, and I thought, well, as long as I accept that's going to happen, he's not going to get dropped because of poor form, at least not at the moment. He's doing well at the moment. So he's obviously in contention. And it just made sense. Yeah, I thought, when you look at it from that angle, and you know, once you accept the risk and the limitation there, and what I ended up doing then was actually, I was going to have 2 4.5 midfielders on my bench who could just come in, and you know, one of them could come in along with one of the other two cheap defenders as well. I basically had 4 4.5 players who, and one of them was going to come in on a rotating basis into my team. But I ended up dropping one of those midfielders and upgrading them to Robbie Brady, because I thought, well, if Sterling does get dropped, then I've got a replacement who can come in and do a job, and that's fine. And it kind of mitigated that risk a little bit in my head. And I just thought it seemed like it was worth doing. I just thought there was a lot of value there. And the only real downside for it, you know, a lot of other people were not even considering him for, was that he may not start. And yeah, while that's valid, there are going to be plenty of games where he does start. And actually now, with the Aguero injury, I maybe got a little bit lucky with that, because I think he's more likely to start now than not, because they've got fewer options up front than they did before. So
the lesson you're preaching here with Raheem Sterling is reminding me of one of my favorite scenes in Band of Brothers, that HBO show about paratroopers in the Western Front, World War II. And there's a soldier, he's not firing his weapon, he's terrified, and his sergeant comes up to him and says, "You just have to accept the fact that you're already dead. And once you accept that fact, you'll finally be able to function as a soldier." So this is basically the lesson with the Man City lineup, as far as I can tell.
I mean, that's...
Just accept that they're all resting.
I'm yeah, precisely. And I'm generally quite a conservative player, and I don't take many risks. I usually go with, you know, FPL is a game of probabilities. You go with what the highest, the most likely outcome is going to be. So I won't take flyers too often, but you're right. That was basically the attitude I took. I thought, yeah, if I just accept that all of them are going to be rested, if you remove that, you know, that fear from it, where's the most value in a Man City attack? And it looked to me like it was Raheem Sterling, so I went for him. And as it turns out, he only got a couple of goals.